Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is the Manchester Football Social with Blue Moon Rising. Coming up on today's show, we've got the race with Liverpool and how's that going? FFP, and we've also got my favourite, the war chest, Pep spending. Who should we go out and buy this summer? Enjoy, subscribe, you know what to do.
Manchester City Football Social with Blue Moon Rising.
Good evening, Manchester, and welcome to the Manchester City Football Social with Blue Moon Rising. This is the show for the pride of Manchester, the only football team to come from Manchester, and that, of course, is Manchester City. And we're going to be talking about the Blues from 6 till 7. Luckily for you lot, you won't just be listening to my dulcet tones. We have got three this week. Yes, three special guests in the studio, starting with regular number one, Mr. Walter Smith. Good evening, Walt.
Good evening. How are you?
All right, mate. You okay?
Ah, I feel like, you know, Titanic, where he's stood at the front of this ship with his arms open.
Which am I? Am I Kate Winslet? Or?
You certainly are. Awesome. Wind blowing through our hair.
Oh, mate, you've got the hair for it, though, I've got to say. And, of course, we have got Alex Hilton in the studio as well. Good evening, Alex.
Hi, Dan. Danny. You feeling good?
Good. Good, mate. Yeah, and we have got a very special guest there, particularly as we go through the show. One of our subjects is going to be financial fair play and how it might affect City. So, who else to bring in than the man, the master on this subject? We have got, most people know him as possibly Presswich Blue, if you're a Blue out there. We have got Colin Savage in the studio. Good evening, Colin.
Good evening. It's a bit of a come down, this, because I was talking to the Sunday Times just before.
So, do you mean to come up? Come
I
on.
I can do the comment touch.
Okay, well, we're going to get Colin's thought, particularly in another section of the show. We're going to talk about FFP. A little bit later, we're going to be talking about Pep's shopping list, who should be on the shopping list if FFP doesn't kick us in the you-know-what. But in the first section, we're going to speak about the running. I mean, obviously, 9 games to go in the Premier League. I can't believe how quick that's gone, boys. Can you? 9 games to go, that's it. City win all 9, City will be champions.
Again. It's just, I love it, me. I love the fact that Klopp, I mean, we were all singing Klopp is cracking up. And he proves to be the case. He's having arguments with ball boys. You can imagine him having arguments at home, arguments on the way back to the tunnel, arguments with the traffic lights on the way to work. He's proper cracking up. And what I love about it is he said this idea of he's not bothered about being behind. He sounds like, you know, the kid at school who tries to ask someone out and gets dumped. And he goes, well,
yeah, that was
not
me.
Bothered. Well,
he says I wasn't going to be surprised then. Oh, I think no, that is your response, wasn't it?
It's very much the case of you all see it. I'm not bothered anyway, as the tears roll down his cheeks.
I think it was a masterstroke of his to get the team to lose a few games and draw a few. Yeah. So they could be behind us at the beginning of March to put
that's
the pressure on.
Pressure's off.
Because otherwise, you know, the simple approach would have been to be 7 points ahead, wouldn't it? But no, he's much cleverer than that.
Yeah, another level, that guy. Alex, I mean, obviously, the results at weekend, you know, absolutely went our way. I think we've been talking on this show pretty much for the last couple of weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, that it was a two-horse race, and now effectively it is a two-horse race. I think Tottenham are pretty much out of the equation. City and Liverpool, they've got quite similar fixtures in a lot of ways in the running, but how important was it, do you think, for City to get their noses in front and take that point?
It's now back in our hands, and without wanting to tempt fate, it's City's to lose, is it not now? It doesn't matter what Liverpool do as long as we win our games. That's a brilliant place to be in. And this weird sort of mentality that's come out of Liverpool, the whole cult of Liverpool FC, that somehow they're still in the better position a point behind. Apply that to any other sport. Apply that to like Formula One. You go, well, yeah, but out of the 60 laps, 55 laps in, you want to be in second place. You don't want to be out in front. You want to be in second place in the race. Imagine a boxing match. Well, in round 10, you want to be having a bit of a wobble.
You want to be down on eight scorecards.
The only sport it applies to is maybe athletics when you've got distance running and you want to be just on the shoulder of the leader going into the last lap when you've done 25 laps. But that's about the only sport it applies to.
All right, Colin, that sounded a bit too much like common sense there.
Sorry, it's a small narrative, but you know.
It's this weird thing, and the whole idea that you wouldn't want to be ahead in the race, I think it's, it's gobbledygook to me. I think City have done, they've just sort of run their own race, they've kept quiet, we sort of wrote Liverpool off in January as it was their title, and we've got on it, we've won our games, and we look strong going in. Even when we've not performed at our best, such as the cup final, we've still ground out results, whereas Liverpool, you know, the ship isn't sailing as tightly as you want. They don't look like a team that are going to win the championship, put it that way.
No, I love that word, gobbledygook, because I was thinking of cloppity-dook. You know, he's just... I mean, without getting overconfident, I remember when we won it in 2012, the Aguero moment. I'm sure we all remember that. And what I did was I went back to when we got beat against Arsenal and United were 8 points ahead. And I listened to the Man United podcasts on a long drive, and it was fantastic.
God, you must have been desperate for content.
No, it was brilliant. It was one of the best podcasts because they were celebrating, they were cheering. It was all over. That was it. You know, the fat lady had sang, and they were celebrating as they were. And just to go back and hear that and then know what happened. Do you know what I mean? So what I would say is 1 point ahead is fantastic, but we've always just, you know, it's a long road still to go. You know, it's business end of the season, but it's still a long road to go.
Yeah, I think you've got to look at that, Colin, aren't you, as well? You know, we've been in that scenario where we were written off six games to go, 8 points behind. It never, ever looked like we were going to win the league that season. But it just goes to show you in the Premier League how things can change. Now, a point gap with 9 games to go, you know, it's not exactly an unassailable lead. However, you would say, you know, just I think from being in and around the club, being there on match days, the aura around City at the minute is just unbelievable. And it's led by Pep Guardiola. You know, you look at this guy, everything he says, everything he does, he just instills confidence, I think, in the players, but also the fans. But I'm not saying sitting here now, and we're going to get into this a bit later in terms of looking at the fixtures. I'm not going to say we're going to win all nine, but you know what? Liverpool are going to have to get a big total, I think, to take us over this season.
I think they are. And I think this is probably the difference between Pep and Klopp, as we were talking about before. You know, we're having a bit of a laugh at Jürgen's expense before, him and his wind, when you're giving the weather forecast, you know.
I did get windy in there as well, actually.
Pep's had that experience, haven't he, of taking teams in on the running. And you just get the impression that Klopp just panics a bit. He hasn't got the right mindset to get them over the line in the same way that Pep has with us and Mancini had with us. But
he has done it, Alex, hasn't he? You know, I mean, let's not forget Klopp was the manager of Dortmund and it was almost like a foregone conclusion season in, season out, that Bayern Munich were going to win the league, and he upset the apple cart a little bit. So he has been through that process of seeing
Klopp.
It out.
This is Liverpool Klopp. And
I agree.
Liverpool have infected Jurgen Klopp. because I really think this is that every football club has a mentality that surrounds it. And I think Liverpool, and I'm not here to slag Liverpool off for an hour, but I think...
we don't mind. Go ahead.
Because Liverpool are a massive club, and they've got a real history of winning stuff, and there's that whole like culture and years and years and years of stuff, and that's awesome. But in recent history, it's a club that's got used with accepting failure and accepting being nearly men, and that this whole weird culture of excuses that Klopp has come out with this season is the fan base have accepted it, and they've gone, yeah that's a good point Jürgen, and they're asked more questions of him, in the same way that Dortmund fans did. They go, well, that wasn't good enough, we want better, we expect better, we're going for a title race. The way they're doing now with their manager, because I don't know if you noticed, but in the Bundesliga, Dortmund are at risk of blowing the lead over Bayern Munich. You know, the fans are getting stressed and they're talking about throwing the Champions League away because they expect better. Liverpool fans aren't doing that of Jurgen Klopp. They're not going, we drew the derby and it feels like a loss, and we've lost our lead in the title race. They're going, well, didn't Van Dijk play well? And it's like they're looking at the positives, and I appreciate a positive fan base, but they're not putting pressure on the manager. And Klopp is letting himself into that kind of like that B-club mentality of it's okay to be nearly men because the fans and the club will let it go because didn't we do well coming second? And that's the mentality of him. And this, the whole sort of attitude of Jurgen Klopp in that interview when he was talking about it's not PlayStation. Look at Man City, they had 900 shots and they only scored one. Should I bring an extra striker on? Who are you to question my mentality? So it reminds me of Newcastle United, Kevin Keegan. I would love it if we beat them. I'd love it if it wasn't windy. I'd love it if Man City had 900. I'd love it if it was PlayStation football. That's who he sounds like. And like, I think you're right, Walter. You know, he does sound like he's cracking. It feels weird being a Manchester City fan that we're the big evil club that just cracking on with it, winning games comfortably. I say this now, watch us lose at the weekend, but winning games comfortably, looking really sort of just comfortable in the lead. And Liverpool are these sort of weird outsiders that don't really know how to stand the title race. It feels weird being a big boys for a change.
There was a lot of them on the forum, on the Liverpool forum, saying, "Oh, if you told me we were 1 point behind the leaders at this stage after 29 games, we'd be delighted."
Yeah.
And that's
but it's about perspective, isn't it? You know, you look at, you know, beginning of the year, the 9-10 points, you know, in front of us. When you look at that scenario, it doesn't look quite the same, does it? It's a matter of how you view it and at what point you do it. I mean, the price of success, Walt, is obviously going to be more games. You know, when you look at Man City, not just the Premier League, you've got the Champions League. What's your take on that? Because, I mean, it was something that Jim talked about last night on the show with Steve McInerney, that, you know, do you think it's a positive to have more games when you've got a big squad, keep that winning mentality going? Or are you in the camp of you'd like to get the lads off to Dubai for a week to till and rest between games? Because I think this is the first time since August that we've actually had a full week off, where we haven't had a game in 7 days, which is unbelievable.
No, if you want to be a big club, you've got to start winning games. And we've all just been to Wembley, haven't we? We've had a great day out. We've come back with silverware. And no one remembers somebody who finishes second, third, fourth, fifth place. They're interested in silverware. We got told for years and years that you've got no history because you've got no silverware. We're building history now. One of the most interesting perspectives for me was Sterling was talking about the pressure in 2014 and the pressure in 2018 and 2019 with this close run. And he said he used to get up in the morning and that's all you thought about was football. You'd be going out buying your Greggs or whatever he was accused of buying, bad man. And, you know, he'd be there and the person behind the counter would be talking football. So there was no escape from it. And it almost overcomes them. And I think that's one of the problems with the Liverpool fan bases. They're so desperate to win this Premier League. I mean, if we lost, we'd be gutted. But we shrug our shoulders and know we'd be in the title race next season. I mean, I always think of, you've got Klopp there. Remember the memes going round? And you've got Brendan Rodgers on his shoulder. And it's like, how am I doing, boss? You know, yes, you might finish second again. And, you know, the pressure in 2014 and what Steven Gerrard was, I mean, don't get me wrong, he's a fantastic player, but what he was doing at the time and getting everybody in a huddle, and it was all or nothing, to quote the documentary. And that's what happened with him, and it just became too much. And City just sailed on by with a big cigar and a brandy like that, going 3 points, 3 points. You know, you don't lose a 3-0 lead. I was going to say Istanbul then, at Crystal Palace. You know, you don't, unless the pressure is getting to you, and that's exactly what happened.
But they went for goals that night, if you remember, because of the goal difference. I think they tried to plough more goals in that ultimately cost them the title because of, you know, the fact they got an equaliser. When you look at the fixtures, Alex, I think you've got the fixtures in front of you there.
I have.
Which concern you? Because, I mean, obviously, we know 9 straight wins, we're going to be Premier League champions. Obviously, it's never as easy as that. You look at them games, I mean, obviously Tottenham still in there. Palace, who beat us at home, we've still got them in there. Burnley, never easy away. And then, of course, we've got to go to United and all that. So which of them games kind of concern you when you look at it?
Well, I mean, it's a boring answer, but I think all of them. Because all of them are Premier League games. All of them are Premier League games. Every team in Premier League can beat anybody else. It doesn't matter who they are.
Even United.
I've seen them win a game. I've seen it with my real eyes. No, but it's, you know, all of them. Obviously, the derby, United will be dead up for it, regardless of whether, I know there's United fans saying they'd rather City win the league than Liverpool, but it will still be a derby of the day and they'll be desperate to beat us. You know, they're playing really good stuff under Solskjaer. They look like a proper serious team. But there's so many. You know, we've seen Leicester come to the Etihad and beat us in recent years. We've seen Palace come to the Etihad and beat us in recent years. You know, we know how tough these teams can be and how easy they can... Oh, but the flip side is, Liverpool will also drop points as well. I don't think either team is going to go 9 straight wins.
Well, if you look at the fixture list, on the 14th of April, Liverpool are playing Chelsea at Anfield and City at Crystal Palace. Now, if you think back to 2014, Liverpool were playing Chelsea, Gerrard slipped, City then went to Crystal Palace and won.
I always love thinking about that slip. It's, I remember when I seen it, I jumped out of my chair like a spring chicken, me back went, and I came down like an old man. And I just wasn't bothered in the slightest because I think we were playing Wolves later that day. And Crystal Palace.
Palace, wasn't it?
A few beers sorted out the bad back. But one of my highlights of that season, Stevie G's slip.
Suarez cried. Come on, you got to finish the song off. You're going to start it, but I mean, just kind of touching back on that fixture congestion. I mean, old Pochettino, he's kind of almost saying that the FA are not really helping English clubs, particularly when you look at the Champions League as well. But when you look at City's fixture pile up, where would, say for instance, they did what like Ajax, you know, got an extra weekend off so they could prepare for the Barcelona game. Where would a City fixture to fit in again? I mean, just with the amount that we've got coming, you just can't see where. I don't know how they could help us in this situation.
Well, yeah, that was the weird thing, isn't it? Because it's a weird thing for Pochettino to come out with, because Spurs have thrown away all their cup games. So,
yeah,
you know, it's one of the things. It's part of the job of being a football manager is you have to manage players and you have to rotate players and work out who's going to play in which matches. And part of that is managing their fitness and managing their stamina. And Tottenham haven't signed a player in 2 windows. And he's now moaning that his players are tired and he's got enough of them. And it's like, well, do the maths, Poch. And don't get me wrong, I think I would like to see, as a Manchester City fan, I would like to see a winter break because I think it would help us, or us play less games, or they're more spaced out. But as a fan of football, I'm not a fan of Friday night football. I don't think that should be a thing. I quite enjoy that there was one night of the week where, despite that I love football, there was that I don't have to worry about. You know, I can make plans on a Friday and not worry about if Sky are going to move the fixtures around or whatever. And I don't want to see more games played at 10 in the morning to make it easier and that sort of stuff. I like that we play a lot of games of football. I like there's all sorts of stuff on. And I like the fact that clubs have managed with it. Liverpool managed it last year when they got to the Champions League final. They did all right, didn't they? They managed all the games that England played. They got to the Champions League final. They nearly won it. Man United got to the Champions League. Chelsea got to the Champions League in recent years. English clubs have done fine in Europe. And it's a convenient excuse for managers to make. But really, get on with it. It's your job to manage a squad of players.
Yeah, I loved it. Did you ever see the All or Nothing documentary when Pep was coaching his players, to put it politely, about this idea of them feeling tired? It was an outstanding
speech. And he commented on it again in his press conference. You know, I don't think Pep, Colin, he's going to have that as an excuse from the players, is it? You know, it's easy for us guys to say, well, they're on 300 grand a week, they only have to play football. You know, I've got to get up at 5 in the morning, you've got to work. I get all that, but it's more about recovery, isn't it, to be in prime condition for the next game. But I don't think Pep is ever going to have that I'm tired as an excuse.
It goes back to the point we were talking about before, about is it better to play a lot more games or better to have a break? And I think when we're playing all these games, all the players are fired up, they're mentally tuned in. And, you know, you hear players say, don't you, I can't wait for the next game. I want to play. And you go away to Dubai for 10 days and that kind of, you get out that rhythm, don't you? You lose the mentality. You sat in the sun. Perhaps you should have gone Stoke on a Wednesday night instead of Dubai.
Well, it could have. Can you imagine the positive feelings? You've been in, you know, Abu Dhabi or Dubai and then you land at John Lennon Airport and it's pouring down. You're looking out the window and you're freezing. You're getting all your coats on. All that positivity straight out the window.
You had me at land at Liverpool, to be fair. That was
I was thinking of Liverpool landing there. They can land at Manchester Airport anytime they want, and other airports are available.
Well, I just think as well, let's be honest, if there was a winter break or they got rid of the League Cup and they started having 7-day gaps, we all know that Tottenham and every other Premier League club would be straight off to America to go and play in some sort of friendly against whoever and whatever.
Mickey Mouse Trophy.
Stuff, you know, so there's no breaks in football. You get paid an awful lot of money to play football. So
yeah, and there's no breaks in football, but there is a break now coming up. So if you want to join us, if you want to get involved, I never even give this out. Shame on me. So drop us a text, 87711. Give us a call, 0345 111 7625. After the break, we're going to be talking about FFP and should Man City be scared of it. And getting on the phone, we've got Sam Lee, but also in the studio, Colin, and we're going to pick his brain. So get involved.
Manchester City Football Social with Blue Moon Rising.
Hello and welcome back to the Manchester City Football Social with Blue Moon Rising. I'm in the studio with wonderful Danny Jackson and Walter Smith and special guest today, Prestwich Blue, Colin Savage. We are talking all things City. We're going to get stuck into financial fair play in just a second. If you're listening along live, do get in touch with the show. 87711 to text in 0345 117625 if you want to get on the phone. And we're in spinning fields. Come round, bang on the window, shout through the letterbox. Get in touch any way you like. This show is about you. Now, financial fair play. There are all sorts of weird, scary headlines that have been popping up in every paper and every news website about Manchester City are going to get kicked out of Europe, we're going to get banned from signing players, we're going to have points deducted, we're going to have our stadium taken off us. Who knows what is going on? Fortunately, we've got a man in the know. Colin Savage, thanks for joining us. What's going on?
Well, as you said, there's a lot of scary headlines, but that's what they are, scary. And I don't mean that in the sense that they're serious scary. They're very sensationalised and designed to make us look bad. Now, there is a potential issue, a small potential issue, but you've got to remember a lot of this stuff dates back to the time when we were actually punished. So we failed financial fair play, 2014, we suffered the fine and the transfer cap and the number of players we could have in our Champions League squad. That's all gone. So since then, we've been compliant with financial fair play. So anyone trying to get the message across that we're still cheating is the inward being used, we're not. We're compliant with financial fair play. The one potential problem we might have is that financial fair play, rightly or wrongly, stops owners putting too much money into clubs. So you can only put a certain amount in over a certain period, very small amount, which is a bit, you can take as much debt as you like. You know, you can go, Spurs are about to take on a debt of about 650 million. No problem with that from UEFA's point of view, but Sheikh Mansour puts 30 million quid in and it's kind of alarm bells.
Doesn't that defy the object of what it was originally set out to do?
Absolutely defies the objective. The whole point of financial fair play was to wean clubs off debt, in theory. But of course it got, we know, it got hijacked along the way, the usual suspects. You know, Real Madrid have had their sweetheart deals with the Spanish government, United, all the usual suspects with big debts, the cartel, the old G14. They've all come along and they've said, no, we don't want the, get rid of the debt. I think Platini's intentions were quite sound initially, but of course these things get twisted over time. But so financial fair play is where it is. And it doesn't allow owner investment. Now, the one potential fly in the ointment we've got is, if you've been reading these Der Spiegel articles, is that Etihad haven't been paying the bulk of the money they're supposed to have been paying. So, for example, if they've been paying us 50 million a year, for example, only 10 million has actually been coming from them, and the other 40 million's coming from somewhere else. Now, the potential problem we may have is that 40 million's come out of Sheikh Mansour's pocket. He's basically getting around the rules by investing his funds that way. But I don't think that's the case. I don't think they could... Well, good luck to UEFA for tying them down to that, actually proving that. But I think... And one of the emails that got highlighted, and this is a very common misconception among some of the journalists and people, it said, His Highness will provide alternative sources of funds. So we've got agreements with some of the Abu Dhabi companies, and they're paying us X amount. And His Highness will provide alternative sources of funds for the rest of it. Now, what people think that Sheikh Mansour, it's not. When people in Abu Dhabi talk about His Highness, they're talking about Sheikh Mansour bin Zayed, who's the Crown Prince, the Emir. Because anyone else, if they were talking about Sheikh Mansour, they would say His Highness Sheikh Mansour bin Zayed. So when they talk about His Highness without any qualification, it's Sheikh Mohammed. He's the ruler of de facto ruler of Abu Dhabi. He's basically the chairman of all these companies of Etihad and Arbor. Or I think they're all part of this Mubadala company, which Khaldun Mubarak is chief executive of. So he's the power in Abu Dhabi. And when it says His Highness will arrange alternative sources, that could well be from central sources in Abu Dhabi rather than Sheikh Mansour's pocket. So unless UEFA can prove beyond doubt that the money's coming out of Sheikh Mansour's pocket as the owner, then they haven't got a case, basically.
Well, I referred to Colin as the Yoda of FFP a little bit earlier. Somebody else who knows a thing or two about it as well is a regular in the studio, our Blue Moon Rising colleague, I'm going to call him. Is that all right? Are we happy with that? We've got Sam Lee from Goal.com. Good evening, Sam. How are you?
Hello, mate. Yeah, the Darth Vader of FFP.
in. You're not the Grim Reaper, you know. So Colin, just there, just to kind of explain a little bit more in detail, Benny, what's your thoughts? I mean, very generic question. I mean, but is, in your opinion, FFP something that we need to be as City fans concerned about?
No, it's similar, really. Obviously, Colin's given a great explanation of how anyone he wasn't aware. And I mean, the likelihood is, at the end of the day, nothing's going to come of it. Whether something should come of it or not, it's probably a different issue that we could talk about for hours. That depends on which side of the fence you're on. But yeah, in terms of UEFA investigating it, I think there was a case very recently, last month. I think UEFA wanted to reinvestigate an old settlement they'd reached with Galatasaray. And obviously, as Colin said, there was a settlement with City in 2014, which was the 50 million fine and the squad size reduction in European competition. So that was a settlement. And Galatasaray took UEFA to court, to the Court of Arbitration for Sport, and said, we don't think this is right. You shouldn't be able to look into this again. And CAS actually ruled with Galatasaray. So Galatasaray won. So in terms of legal precedence, and this is all very important, because, you know, I'm not an expert on FFP or this kind of thing, but I've spoken to a lot of experts in the process of my reporting, and they were all talking about, you know, the precedence for it. So the fact that CAS ruled that UEFA couldn't investigate old cases only last month, that's pretty big. So even if they wanted to go back, they probably won't be able to. The other side of it is, in terms of complying with FFP, yeah, City have been, if they wanted, again, to look back at not just 2014, but recent years, they would, again, struggle with that based on what was in court last month. And the other thing is, Der Spiegel, they didn't actually say it outright, but they kind of alluded to it. In terms of the talk about the way City pay their wages, there was some kind of jiggery-pokery alleged via a third party, where effectively the third party kind of pays the wages, and it means that the losses don't come out of City's books, basically. So they can kind of get away with paying large salaries and that not come off. UEFA could maybe investigate that going forward, but, you know, would City, you know, City would comply with that, as they have been with FFP over the last few years, by submitting their accounts and their audits and all that. You know, there's no guarantees if there was any wrongdoing there, and it's certainly far from assured that there is, that City would actually comply with that. And there's so many other things that we could go into in terms of precedence and all this, but the long and the short is, I'm not sure that anything's actually going to happen regarding this. And if it did, it obviously would be a ban from European competition rather than a transfer ban, because the transfer ban is something separate altogether.
And City, obviously, currently over the last few years, I mean, commercially, are a different animal to the one that, you know, the club that was taken over originally. So when we look at, for instance, the latest deal, the 650 million 10-year deal with Puma, how much impact does that have in terms of our, you know, our standing within financial fair play? And, you know, just out of interest, just to get your thoughts, how is that? Because I know it's divided between four clubs, City being one of them, four clubs within the group. You know, have you got any idea of how that, you know, obviously I'm guessing the vast majority will be accounted for under City's books. But have you got any detail behind that, Sam, or how that'll work?
No, this is something we were trying to find out before the deal was announced last week, and some of my colleagues interviewed Ferran Torriola. But as far as I'm aware, you know, that how the actual split is divided up, that hasn't been made public, and I don't think it will be. But I think the off-the-record guidance is that, yeah, well, as you say, City get the majority of it, as you would imagine, because in complete fairness, City are the main pull there. Obviously, Puma would go, oh yeah, we can also sell these shirts, but obviously in America they can't, because there's the NIS deal with Adidas, so that can't be broken up. So there's not an awful lot to be gained from Puma's point of view, other than selling a load of City shirts. So yeah, City will get the majority of that. And in terms of their standing with FFP, yeah, this is worth a lot more than the old deal was. And, you know, this one, you would imagine, is kind of inscrutable. The problems that a lot of people have with City and FFP are that they're Middle Eastern sponsors that have some link to the club's owners. But obviously this one, it certainly appears, you know, completely transparent and completely separate to that. And they paid, I think what everybody would accept is the going rate, because that's the other thing that's levelled at City, is that all these sponsorship deals are trumped up. But, you know, this isn't the biggest sponsorship deal ever. It's not as big as the one United have got with Adidas, for example. But it's still very big, and it will, you know, contribute a lot of money towards what City are trying to do.
Obviously, talking through FFP and all the headlines, and whilst we can say all that they haven't got anything on City and it's probably all going to be fine, do you think the club are worried?
I don't think so. I mean, part of the whole Der Spiegel thing in the first place, and part of the whole outrage that a lot of people had towards City, was the fact that Khaldun al-Mubarak and some of the lawyers were kind of, you know, threatening UEFA when it came to the settlement, which I'm led to believe is fairly normal, to be fair. You know, it's a negotiation. But they were saying, look, if you do this, we'll take you to court. And you know, I think there's some degree of confidence there that FFP wouldn't stand up because it's non-competitive and, you know, it restricts competition and all this kind of thing. But, again, having spoken to the experts, I don't think that's actually likely. Or at least there's a decent chance that FFP would stand up in court. But no, I don't think City are overly worried, because, again, in the other side of it is, do UEFA want a big team out of the Champions League? Obviously, you know, there's probably City fans saying, well, UEFA don't regard City as they do Bayern Munich, United, Real Madrid, clubs like that. But yeah, that is a big part of it. And I'm not sure City are that worried about this particular element. Maybe they are a bit more with the FIFA and the transfer ban stuff.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of UEFA, Sam, I think I don't think they've any interest in taking us on, to be honest.
Because it'll be long and costly, and yeah.
Well, if it came to court, interesting thing, if it came to court, people don't realise. Obviously, these documents have been leaked. The assumption is they've been hacked, stolen. So I don't think that they're admissible in a court of law as they stand. If we were to take UEFA to court, obviously we'd have to put all those documents on the table, but UEFA would have to do the same thing. So UEFA would have to provide a load of documentation on our lawyers' demands, and I suspect they don't want some of that to come to light. So I don't think UEFA are interested in taking this forward and are quietly hoping it all goes away.
Perhaps so. Although, in terms of the admissibility of that evidence, whether it's hacked or stolen, the lawyers I spoke to, and the sports law experts I spoke to, one of which was involved in AC Milan's fight against FFP, or their sanction regarding FFP at CAS last year, they all thought, with all things considered, it probably would be admissible if it came to it. But like you say, it does go back to kind of the appetite of UEFA to actually get into all of that.
I don't think we've got the political. And another thing that's just popped into my head. I had a note from one of my contacts this morning that the DuPont case has been heard again in Belgium. There's nothing been, not much been said on the news. And I could only find one piece in a Belgian newspaper which mentioned it. But the guy close to the case has told me that it's passed backwards and forwards between Belgium and the European Court. And people thought it had been kicked out, but the European Court of Justice had said, no, it's not a matter for us to rule on, it's a matter for the Belgian Court. So the Belgian Court has heard it. There has been a hearing. It's all to do with, tied up with third-party ownership, but financial fair play has apparently taken precedence over TPO. And the judge has heard it. And apparently, Monsieur DuPont is quietly confident that things have gone well. So, you know, watch this space, basically.
Yeah, another one to keep an eye on then, I suppose. That's obviously the agent who initially, or was he was taking UEFA to court initially on the grounds that FFP is non-competitive, but it kind of got thrown out because, yeah, Cass said that this isn't one for us. And also, I think, did they doubt how legitimate his claim was? Because it doesn't affect agents, it affects clubs and players more. But yeah, so if that is being reheard, then that's one to keep an eye on as well. But if that is the case, then that would be another precedent on City side. I think probably the main one is this Galatasaray one, that you can't reopen the old cases.
As much as I'm enjoying this, boys, we are going to have to very, very quickly go to a break. And I am glad you're not too worried about the money, because after the break, we're going to be talking how City are going to spend lots more of it. Don't go anywhere. Right back here to XF Manchester and the Manchester City Football Social.
Manchester City Football Social. Subscribe to the podcast now and never miss a show. This is XS Manchester.
Making the right hire is a lot of little things that really add up.
How do I know I've made a great hire? I listen for feedback.
Plus 6 points.
I'll hear, Tony, the team couldn't be happier.
Plus 10 points.
Or, Tony, the team let the air out of your tyres.
Minus 20 points.
Then someone said, Tony, try Indeed.
Plus 30 points.
Millions of great candidates worldwide visit Indeed every day, and screener questions help me create my shortlist of applicants fast.
Post your job today at Indeed.com. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Sourcecom score total visits.
XS Manchester Travel. With FOW.co.uk, choose from over 1,000 family-friendly used cars.
The M60 is looking fairly good, not too bad on either side. Now, there is an accident on the M62 westbound, just after junction 20 for Rochdale, so if you're trying to get up to the A627M, it's that accident, sorry, that junction there where the accident is. Lane through the outside lane closed on the Manchester-bound side. Sketchy details, that's why I probably sound a bit unsure about what's going on here, because we're getting it from Twitter, I believe, some of the information, so we're trying to get some more official information from the police on that one. It's certainly looking busy anyway, and it's busy coming into Manchester on Chester Road. It's congested coming up to Mancunian Way. The Mancunian Way is busy, slow moving around the road which towards Trinity Way. Regent Road coming in through Salford, busy into Manchester. If you're heading as far as Haydock Islands, the M6 junction 23, the motorway's all right, but East Lancs Road across there still partially blocked on both sides by an accident. That's the latest.
Manchester City Football Social with Blue Moon Rising.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are the Manchester Football Social with Blue Moon Rising. Give us a call on 0345 111 7625. Give us a text on 87711 or even tweet at MCR Football Social. I'm here with three legends. I'm here with Danny Jackson, Alex, and I'm here with Colin Savage. Now, this is my favourite part of the show, straight back into the football. And as a kid, you used to always get excited at those two words when you heard your club had a war chest. You knew you were going out to splash the cash. And in recent times, Manchester City have been able to do that far more so than they used to be able to do. Now, Pep was talking about three or four players coming in this summer. And, you know, with our track record over the last few years, you know they're going to be good. I'm also thinking that we should be strengthening. What areas should we invest in, should I say? And we put it out on Twitter today, and there was quite a few good suggestions that came back. Now, Danny, out of all those names that sort of were flying around Twitter that might be coming to our club in the summer, which one caught your eye?
Well, there's a few. I've written down who I'd like to see in the blue shirt next season. And looking at some of the responses on Twitter, a lot of them are absolutely on my wavelength. Well, for me, Aaron Wan-Bissaka from Palace, he's just a Rolls-Royce. He's a future quality. I mean, he's already got, is it the most tackles won this season in Europe? You know, this is an 18, 19 year old kid. Bags of pace. I remember seeing him when Palace beat us at home and was just unbelievably impressed by him. I mean, what a player. Obviously, we're going to have to start, I mean, it hurts to say, doesn't it? We're going to have to start looking, you know, for a Ferner replacement at some time.
Indeed.
I'm a big fan of Ondembele from Lyon. I think we watched him in the Champions League against us. I thought he ran the show. I thought he was absolutely sublime and somebody who, for me, would fit into that mould of Fernandinho. And I'm going to be boring and throw another name into the mix, Ben Chilwell from Leicester. I think we're definitely going to be looking at another left back. I mean, Benjamin Mendy's injury record, obviously as it is, is a bit concerning. So someone like Chilwell who consistently plays. But looking at some of the responses on here, a lot of them names have been mentioned. We've got at Hat Hero. He's got Wan-Bissaka, Chilwell, Delight, Ondembele. We've got Landegren, who's gone with Ondembele, Chilwell, De Ligt and Ua. Then we've got others, De Ligt, Ondembele, Chilwell, Jovic, Maguire, Kante, Royce and Sean Goethe from John Walker _1986. Now that bring the goat back. What do you reckon about that? But I mean, there's some common names there, Alex. Do any of them stick out for you? Have you got some new ones to throw into
there's
the mix?
A few. I've got a couple of new ones. I've got a few ones. Ondombele, like you say, he's the one that keeps popping up every few weeks as they we keep hearing more things about him coming out of France, and he's a really exciting player, youth on his side. Looking to the Premier League, it might seem a little bit, I don't know, like the popular choice flavour of the month, but Declan Rice.
He's decent.
A really exciting midfield player, and he's got a little bit of versatility in his locker. And these players, young English players, have half a season and they come up and they're going to be the next best thing, and then they get to sort of 23, 24 and we sort of realise we all got excited a little bit too quickly. But it does feel like he's been around for a little while now, doing it every week for West Ham in the Premier League. I think it might be worth a punt. Colin, you're waving your finger at
the other side of the coin is, because we've got squad limits, for Champions League and Premier League, we're allowed 17 foreign players, and that's what we've got currently, including Claudio Bravo, who we don't know. For Premier League, we're allowed 8 homegrown players generally. Champions League, 4 homegrown, i.e. city-grown, and 4 other association-trained players. So if someone's coming in, who's going out?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I'm always a fan of Declan Rice. What I love about him is, when the ball comes to him, you can see that sort of silver, the way he looks 360 before he receives the ball. I'm not comparing him to Silver, by the way, because this is a young kid. I was surprised at how big he is. You know, when I saw him live when he was playing, I was putting the case forward to sign him last summer. There was a really good podcast I was listening to, and it was an Irish one, and they were talking about Declan Rice, and they were talking about the owners of West Ham said that they were looking forward to the day that he's the captain of England and the captain of West Ham, and they were laughing saying, mate, he'll be the captain of England and the captain of Manchester City. So, but what I did find was, if you look down all these players, there's a common theme just in position, but there's also that common theme in the names that are cropping up. So I don't know if you're putting 2 and 2 together to get 5, but I'm feeling that we could almost write the players that are coming in. What do you reckon, Danny?
Yeah, I'm still kind of mulling over what Colin said there, because it's all right for us not getting dead excited. Yeah, we want him, and then Colin brings us back down to earth. Who's going out? And I was kind of thinking, who potentially is going out this summer? Because, I mean, obviously that is going to create the space for somebody else to come in, particularly a foreign player, an overseas player. Vincent Kompany, you know, obviously that there's a lot of talk around maybe he's going to get another year, which pray God he does. But I'm trying to think who would be out of that door. I mean, the names that I give you there, Colin, I mean, Wan-Bissaka is going to be homegrown. Ben Chilwell would be homegrown. You know, if we're talking Declan Rice as opposed to someone like Ondembele, that's another homegrown
player. From the Premier League point of view, we can have 8 homegrown players, whether the City or West Ham or whoever.
So who's going out? Right. Who's going out, guys?
You know, I'm going to be controversial here. Do you know what we might see the back of? Benjamin Mendy. And the reasons I say that, I know you're looking at me, you're all looking at me shaking heads thinking, no. But then you think about what he's brought to the team over the last couple of years. It's mainly a Twitter account. And
well, look Pogba, he's doing all right.
There's no oxygen left in this room then for the intake of freshmen.
What I would say is you've got Ben Mendy there, and don't get me wrong, when he's on song and he's playing well, he's one of the best left-backs in the world. But you've got to ask yourself, if Pep's got to invest in a left-back, or if he's got to invest sort of emotionally in a left-back to play there, and he's never there, what's the point?
I can't see it. Well, I can't see Benjamin Mendy going anywhere. Pep's a huge fan of him. He's backed him to bring him in at £50 million. He's not, I mean, you think of it from a commercial perspective. You bought a guy in at £50 million, big wages. He's virtually never played. Then you sell him. Obviously, you're going to have to sell him at a huge loss. And he's still got massive unfulfilled potential for me. So I'd be amazed if Ben Mendy was on that list.
I'm surprised.
I don't think Mendy's going, but I think you're right. I do think Mendy's been a bit of a misfit with the squad, because as much as I love the guy and he's a huge personality, I have my suspicions that behind the cameras, Pep Guardiola is not a massive fan of Mendy's Twitter account. And I think, you know, he would much rather Mendy put as much work into social media as he did into getting fit and still on the training ground. And I think that, I don't think we will sell him, because I think it will be embarrassing for the City Football Group. It would be a commercial failure and misgiving. And equally, we've not had a full season of Mendy to show his worth yet. So I think they'll be patient with him. Fabian Delph might be one. And as much as I love Delph and as versatile as he is, I do...
Where's Fabian Delph gone?
Exactly.
He's just slipped completely off the radar, hasn't he? He's not involved in any of the travelling squads.
He's training, but he's not in the squad. You know, he's fit, but he's not in the squad. And you wonder, is he the guy? Is he the first name on the list?
He signed his exit pass, you know, with those tackles. I remember he got away with one week when he could have got a red, and he got the next week he did exactly the same. And Pep Guardiola must be looking on thinking, I need 11 men on the pitch. I don't need a wild card on there. And for all as much as we love Fabian and, you know, the fun that he brings and the sort of down-to-earth Yorkshireness about him, Pep Guardiola's looking at a bigger picture.
And there'll be clubs queuing up Fabian Delph. I love Fabian Delph. He's my favourite City player, putting that out now. But open up your betting apps right now. Should Leeds United get promoted to the Premier League next year, Joe will be a ready-made captain to go into that squad.
And we'd make money on him. We paid £8 million for him. We've had him for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. Nothing on the books. We sell him for £20 million. Nice profit to go into whoever we're buying next.
Yeah, and he's still a good age. I mean, he's another one. He's a little bit like Milner, where you feel like he's been around forever, but actually he's what is he, late 20s? So he's still, for a midfielder, I guess, in the peak of his powers. So two names we've got on Twitter here that just made me laugh. We've got Dan Healis, or at Dan Healis, put on... to come in, Sancho, Brahim, Messi and Ndombele. So bringing two of our old players back already, I'm not sure I buy into that one too much.
Well, it's a model that works well across the city, isn't it?
Ooh. It'd be an interesting one, Sancho, but I think that ship has sailed. I'm not really sure where Sancho would play at the minute, because I would love, based on the news the last week, I'd love Gareth Bale. I think he's going to be available this summer. It looks like that he's being sort of shown the door at Madrid. I think he's an absolutely wicked player. He's going to be wanting to win something. Gareth Bale. So he's got to win something in England before his career ends. I would love Gareth Bale. I don't think it will ever happen.
Stan Collymore today was talking about City should go in. Generally, I don't listen to a word Stan Collymore says, but I kind of thought, that'd be nice. It never happened, but that'd be nice. Virgil van Dijk, he's saying if we win the league this season and Liverpool don't, we should go in for Virgil van Dijk.
Well, it'd be great for the banter, wouldn't it?
Imagine him alongside Laporte, though, boys. Wow.
He's a great player, you know. He's another one. I couldn't believe the size of him. You know, and he is a Rolls Royce. I don't know how quick he is, because his positioning sense is that good. He never gets himself in trouble where he has to make those last-ditch tackles. He just seems to be in the right place at the right time.
The new Bobby Moore.
Well, captain of England, captain of West Ham.
controversial one for the door. 28 years old, been immaculate whenever he's played, but can't hold down a starting position in the starting squad. Ilkay Gundogan, I think he's a great player. There were rumours that he wasn't happy earlier in the season. You think if one of the big German clubs came in for him, or even, say, you know, an Arsenal or a Tottenham, who are both looking for sort of central midfield players in the summer, can say, look, you could come and be a starting player. You know, I think Gundogan would be a great buy for so many clubs around the world. And Pep seems to not be too confident about playing him every week.
Is he only 28?
He's 28.
He's holding out in his contract, isn't he? And I think we'll be ruthless. If he's not signing this summer, he's out.
Yeah, you've got to do that. You've got to look after the club. I mean, as much as we're fans of the various different players, as Alex said, Fabian Delph, you've got to look. Ultimately, we're Manchester City fans. We're not Fabian Delph fans, if you know what I mean.
Well, that debate will rumble on long into the night, I'm sure, all over Manchester. But for us, the hour is over, boys. It has flown by. So thank you to Alex. Thanks to Colin. Thanks to Walter. Thanks to Sam Lee, who joined us as well.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.